Thank you. Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running, most enduring outdoor radio talk program in probably in New England, as a matter of fact. And we're so pleased that you're on board tonight. We're glad to have you here, and we always encourage you to be part of our program week after week. We're interested in what you have to say and anything that you comments on your mind. And what's the magic number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039, and you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local. That's 1-800-966-1039.
That is correct, and you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3 in, is that Augusta?
Bangor.
Oh, no, no, it's 101.3.
Augusta, I'm sorry.
101.3, 103.9 Bangor, and 95.1 in Rockland. Did I say that right, Jim? I got that right, didn't I?
Yeah. I'd say you did.
All right.
And internet, too.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, we have a great show lined up for you tonight. I think you're going to find it informative and entertaining. And before we introduce our guests, it's always my pleasure to introduce the crew, the loyal, reliable crew with us week after week, year after year, going on a quarter of a century now. And we have with us tonight the engineer emeritus, the man behind the controls there in the studio with the toggle switches, Mr. Jim Layton. Take a bow, Jim.
Well, good evening, folks. Pull up a chair. It's going to be a great evening. We got some great guests and looking forward to the show.
And I like your hat. It says Moxie. Moxie. On it.
You betcha.
Are you a Moxie fan?
I am. I have a half gallon of that in the refrigerator right now.
How do you drink that stuff?
Well, I always dip my worms in it when I'm fishing.
There you are. Yeah. Has nothing to do with drinking it.
Yeah, I like that. And with the Moxie man to his right is the crock pot cooking expert from Grand Lake Stream, also known as the Sage of Grand Lake Stream, my friend Norm Plord.
Good evening, everybody. Yes, it's going to be a good time. The only thing is, though, have you noticed the weather getting cooler?
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's nice, but it's kind of...
Too early, you think?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, it was cool this morning.
It's going to make the fishing better this fall.
You betcha.
And exactly. Congratulations to Diane Plord, who celebrated her 39th. Last night.
Oh. I'm sure she'd love to hear that.
I thought she might.
Happy birthday, Diane. And wouldn't I like to be 39 again?
Yeah, wow. Me too.
Also with us tonight, of course, is our esteemed co-host. He's a registered Maine guide, author of a number of great fishing books, and he knows a little bit about brook trout, Mr. Bob Lehman.
You're expecting maybe Mrs. Nisbaum?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Nice to have you here,
Bob.
Thank
you, great intro.
And thank you last week for filling in.
Oh, love it.
While I was up in our guest's
neck
of the woods.
Yeah, he was up in the county there.
Up in the county. We had a great time up there. Spent a week and really enjoyed it. And now the folks who are driven all the way down from Aroostook County to be with us tonight, and we always enjoy having him aboard. He's the executive director of North Maine Woods, and he's a guy who knows his way around the outdoors, Mr. Al Copperthwaite.
Pleasure to be here tonight, Paul.
Nice to have you here, sir. Yep. And with Al, to his... you're right, is the assistant director of North Maine Woods, Mike McClellan.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here, Mike, and we look forward to talking to you both. And we'll be talking to our guests and invite your questions in just a moment. But first, it's time for Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications. A couple of items here. Want to remind you, for the last time, if you're looking to apply for a DOE permit, and the department is giving out a large number of those this year. If you would like to apply, you have until midnight, August 15th, which I think would be this Thursday. So get your get online. You have to do it online. They're not going to mail you anything. You got to get on the computer, and it's pretty easy. I did it the other day, and it's even for me, it was fairly easy. So give it a shot and apply for a DOE permit. Again, you have until midnight, actually 11:59 p.m. on August 15th. So
they're cutting back, I think, the DOE permits this year, something like 19% for over last year.
Oh, they did? I thought they were. No, I think they're up.
I gave the proposal. I passed it to you earlier.
You want to bet on that?
Yes, I do. A dollar?
Okay. I think the last time we did that, I won.
You won. Yes, you did. I'm always.
Are you sure of that? I think they jacked
it
up a little
bit. You'll see when you open it up.
Yeah, do you know, Al?
I think it's down just a hair.
Oh, okay.
It is down.
I think so. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, I guess I won't bet then.
No. Yeah. No.
All right. Okay. All right. Anyway, DOE permits, don't forget, you have them until midnight Thursday. Just the other thing I want to remind you, we had a really bad ATV accident. In fact, I think it was up in Allegash.
Yes. Yep.
A fellow was killed riding an ATV up a gravel bank or something. Be careful. This is a great time of year, a lot of ATV activity. We saw a lot of that up in the county. And it's a great place up there, some great trails. In fact, one of the folks who had a machine like I'd never seen before, I don't know what kind it was, but it was unbelievable ATV, told me that you can actually ride an ATV, Bob, from Allegash, Maine, down to Ellsworth, Maine.
Is that so?
On an
ATV trail?
Yeah, trails are improving, and tourism benefits to Rooster County are tremendous with all the people coming up.
Yeah, you get a lot of people come up there to ride, just like you do snow sleds, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all have to stop at the gate, right, Al?
We don't allow them in North Main Woods, but the other part of the county is full of trails and a lot of motels, accommodations. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Anyway, be careful out on the ATV trails. Ride, have some respect for the land, and watch your speed and be careful. ATV is a lot of fun, but it can be dangerous if you don't do it right. Okay, I think it's time now for Bob Lehman's favorite music.
Get ready, Bob, for the timing now.
Yes.
Watch me.
Hey, before you do the fishing report, I just made a cardinal sin. I forgot to introduce my bride.
Oh, also
with us in the studio tonight is my chauffeur, my wife, Diane. Diane, nice to have you here behind
Thank
the
you.
Wheel. Okay. Whew, I got by that one. Okay, what's going on in the fishing world?
Well, you know, Jim and I were talking earlier in the show, believe it or not, out in the hall out here about deep fishing for togue.
Right.
That's a lost art. Really, it is
it
today.
Is.
It
yep.
is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know about that, don't you?
I was at one time a pretty accomplished togue man myself.
Did you use those great big hollowed-out spoons that they made locally themselves?
Big Murray
homemade?
Spoon. Al, you've used those, the big Murray spoon.
Yep.
And the lead core line,
And they pounded them out of copper and brass and everything.
Old
and
then headlights.
They put the old steel wool to them till they really shined.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd go, they'd heavy rod, trolling rod.
Yeah, big heavy trolling rod.
They'd wash that rod tip. When they'd let that line out, and every time that big spoon would go around, you know.
Pulsate.
Big, wide.
Big pulsate.
And every time it went around, the rod tip would, as you said, it would pulse.
Yep. My dad and I would sit out there for 5-6 hours, not talking to each other, just watching that rod
tip.
You've done that now, right?
Yep. Now, if you skipped a beat, you know what happened?
Yeah, you know the spoon touched bottom.
Right, exactly.
So you reel in about 2 or 3 feet. Just get that bait
just
up off the bottom.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely.
What size bait were you using?
Oh, we were using smelts.
We used to use, Dad would use a 2 or 3-aught hook, and we'd use 10 and 12-inch suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll tell you a little secret, just between us. One time, I tried a goldfish.
No.
They're not legal, but I just wanted to find out. I had to know.
Yeah.
So I tried a little goldfish, and it was deadly.
Deadly.
Yeah. Oh, deadly.
No kidding.
So
orange, that orange, you know.
Don't, you can't do that today. Don't do that today.
No.
All
right. Dad used to make those out of copper, and he'd put some orange right in the middle of the copper spoon.
Yeah.
And, that worked really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what the hot bait was in those days, what they could get easily, and they used it?
Yeah, moxie dipped.
Moxie dip. Well, that's another thing. I never thought of that. But angleworms and night crawlers.
That's right.
I've never used those for togue. Yeah.
Well, my father and uncle used to drag those, and they dragged those, you know, in McNamara and Joe Klusner, the old cigar maker there.
Yep.
Big gobs of
them. To a different lake every you know around here.
Yep.
A different lake every Sunday, and they'd troll all day, have lunch on shore.
Yeah.
And they'd get the most beautiful fish you ever saw in your life.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, big togue right off the bottom.
Yeah, togue fishing takes a lot of patience.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, you've probably done that at Nickerson Lake, right?
I do, yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of patience.
Wow. Yep. Fish Lake
you
is
know about
a,
that,
a good
you still,
spot.
Nowadays, they've got all these new gadgets, you know, this new
downrigger
stuff that...
downriggers
you know,
and all
Yeah, you got it. Downriggers and the whole nine
fish
yards.
Fish finders, downriggers,
you know, so. Anyway, that's my report.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate
that report. You're welcome, sir.
All right. And that are you a fisherman, Mike?
I sure am.
Yeah, what kind of fishing do you like?
I grew up brook fishing primarily.
Yeah.
You guys are talking the language a little strange to me, but...
Fly fishing?
Yeah, fly fishing, I'm definitely a novice, but
that's all right.
It's a great way to go.
Someday I will get there.
All right, good for you. You'll never regret it, let me tell you. All right, I think that wraps up Outdoor Digest, unless anybody has anything else. Diane, you have anything?
No.
Brought to you by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And again, our guest tonight, Al Carpathwaite, who's director of the North Main Woods, and his sidekick, Mike McClellan. And we'll be talking to both those gents here in just a minute. Right now, we have an outdoor trivia question. The good news tonight is that North Main Woods is going to donate not one, but two $50 gift certificates. We'll have one trivia question now, and this is kind of new ground for us, but I think you'll like it. Later on in the show, right after Bob does his general appliance spot, we're going to give away another $50 certificate. And we're going to give you a couple of questions. They're not that easy, so you'll have to put on your thinking cap. Here right now is Al with question number one.
Okay, here we go. What is the new crossbow law that takes effect this fall?
All right, and what's the number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039, and what do they win?
A $50 gift certificate from North Main Woods.
Great, great.
Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and Judge Carpathwaite is standing by to judge the veracity of your answer. And good evening, caller. We're looking for a trivia question answer. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I want to wish Diane a happy birthday, first of all.
Okay.
Diane Plord, that is.
Not yep. Reynolds.
All right. I thought it was your wife.
No,
it's my wife.
She's not 39. That's our engineer who's now behind the he's in the right seat. So hang on. Norm Plord is at the toggle switches. Yeah. His wife turned 39.
Oh, happy birthday to her.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you believe that, you'll believe anything.
I believe everything you guys say.
Hey, all right.
What do you think the answer is?
You know, I read it in the paper, and I forgot what I read, so I'm taking a wild guess, and I want to say you got to wear orange.
I'm sorry. No, you don't have to wear orange during archery season.
All righty. That was a wild guess.
What is your first name?
Dan.
Dan. Okay, well, that was a fair try.
Thanks, Dan.
But, yeah, but you get the raspberry, Dan. Sorry.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
And for listening.
All right. Let's take another answer. Good evening. You're in Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
How are we doing tonight, fellas?
Great.
Ladies.
What's your first name?
Mike.
Okay, Mike, what do you think the answer might be?
Well, we're not down here with any Google or anything like that, so I'm thinking, I'm not a bow hunter or anything, but I'm thinking you can use the crossbows during regular archery season.
Okay, well, I have to refer to the judge here. What do you think, Judge Carpathwaite?
To the regular archery season. Yep, that's your answer.
Yeah.
You get yourself a $50 gift certificate. Congratulations.
Well, I'll tell you what. Back in the winter there when you was down as a guest and I missed out on them questions, that ruined my whole night, honest with you.
We made up for it tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the right answer. I don't know if you were aware of it, but last year you had to be 65 or older to use a crossbow during the October archery season. But they passed a law this spring, and the governor signed it, which means that anybody of any legal age, if you have an archery ticket, then you can use a crossbow.
Now, didn't they have a thing where certain disabled people could use those?
Yes, they did. Yep.
Yeah.
The one caveat to all of this is, though, there is a September expanded archery season, and that law does not apply to the expanded archery season.
And, is there any way I can get, when they send that down to me, get one of those little map books for up there too, Al?
You can, yes.
I appreciate it.
Yep, we'll get it to you.
Okay, we will, Norm's going to take your address because you won the prize, and Al will be mailing you both the certificate, the $50 certificate, and also the booklet, right, Al?
That's correct, yes.
I appreciate that. Great prize, great show, and hi to Jimmy Layton if he's around.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Okay.
Hi, Mike. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. A good answer. 65, you don't have to be 65 or older. You can, anybody with a legal licensed can now hunt with a crossbow during the October archery season. Let's get down to business. Again, nice to have both you gents here on Maine Outdoors, and we appreciate, I know it's a long drive, isn't it, Di, from Ashland down to here?
But
a beautiful drive, yeah.
4 hours.
And we had a lovely, I want you both to know, this has nothing to do with North Maine Woods, I guess, but I want you folks to know that I spent part of my preteen years in Holton and always loved the county, like picking potatoes and the fishing spots and everything. And then we moved back to Bangor, to my disappointment. My sisters were happy to get back, but I wasn't. But anyway, Diane and I have, you know, we've fished the DeBully area quite a lot over our lifetime. But we keep forgetting what a great place Aroostook County is. And we notice the people are just a little bit friendlier up there, a little more convivial in the stores and the gas stations, and just a lovely time of year to be in Aroostook County.
Well, thank you. It's a little slower pace than you have down this way. So
it is. And yes. we love the people and we love the country up there.
And we have a lot of open space up there,
you
too.
You do have a lot of open space. But just a beautiful spot. I'm glad I'm not there in January, but boy, yeah. July was a great time to be there. Anyway, let's talk about North Maine Woods, Al. Before we get down to some of the other things we want to chat about, for those listeners who may not be familiar with North Maine Woods, could you and Mike explain your organization?
We will. North Maine Woods was created in 1971. We're a couple years off from our 50th anniversary of operations. We manage private forest land in northern Maine for approximately 30 different types of owners, from families to corporations to conservation groups like the Nature Conservancy. Total management area is 3.5 million acres, which is primarily the land north and west of Baxter Park to the Canadian border. We host about 70,000 visitors to the North Maine Woods every year, primarily for fishing and hunting. We don't have a lot of hiking trails. Hunting season is our busiest time of the year, and that's coming up. We're seeing a lot of grouse around the woods this summer, a lot of flocks. Looks like a good season coming up. We charge fees to enter the North Maine Woods, which pay for our program. We're a private nonprofit group. None of the fees that we charge go to the landowning companies. It's a dedicated program where our fees are set to cover operations.
How many actual checkpoints do you have, North Maine Woods?
We have about 8 manned staff checkpoints, and we have another 7 automated checkpoints where we don't have staff there. We have cell phones and satellite internet and security cameras. So we started putting the automated checkpoints in 2005 as a cost reduction effort, to instead of paying people to stand alongside the road and let people in and out of the forest. We do it with technology, and it saves a lot of money, and that's reflected in our user fees. We're tremendous savings to our customers by automating some of our entry points.
Okay, so the fees that you established at the various checkpoints, those fees are to pay for the people that run the checkpoints and take care of the picnic areas and stuff like that.
That's exactly right. They use fees are dedicated toward paying the checkpoint receptionists that let people in and out of the forest, and then the separate camping fees pays for our campsite maintenance staff and our campsite development program. We have about 350 campsites in the North Maine Woods region that are mowed, with fireplaces, picnic tables, outhouses. We have 211 outhouses in the Maine Woods, so
we
put up with a lot of crap from a lot of people.
Well said. That's our new slogan.
We try to keep them clean. We have staff that go around and keep the spiders out and the cobwebs. And so it takes an effort to accommodate the public on this primarily private land ownership. State of Maine owns about 5% of the property. Some of that's along the Allegash River. The Dooley Township is a township that you mentioned that's managed by the state of Maine. Telos Township, Round Pond Township. So
what's the structural organization? Do you report to you and Mike report to a board of directors, and how are they selected, and how does that work?
Yeah, we're private. We have a board of directors which consists of the landowning representatives, the woodlands managers from the different landowning companies, the Huber Company, Seven Islands Land Company, Prentice and Carlisle, the Nature Conservancy, Wagner Forest Management, Landvest.
Wow, you have a lot of bosses.
We do, and it works pretty well. We also have the commissioners from the Department of Conservation, Forestry, and Agriculture, and the Fish and Wildlife Department. They're non-voting members of the board, and they've had those seats. When they created North Main Woods in the early 1970s, they wanted to do their best to keep the policies for visiting the North Main Woods consistent with state policy.
I see.
So they've always had state representation at their table when they talked about different programs, camping, the Maine Forest Service is involved. We have quite a bait site management program that we've been into for 30 years and work closely with the department on working with the state on managing the placement of the bait for hunting bears.
So you you report to these various directors, and if you decide, you and Mike decide, we're going to make a policy change of some kind. If you're going to change the fees at the gate, or you're going to close down a checkpoint, these are decisions you have to share with the board, and the board votes. Is that how that works?
There's a level between the staff, Mike and I. There's four full-time staff members. There's a administrative committee that we report to as staff, and they work with us to create the policies, and then whatever we recommend to the administrative committee, which is also representatives of these different landowners, they'll help us work out the policies and what the fees are going to be, and then we pass that up to the board, and the board approves whatever they approve or disapprove of the recommendations of the administrative committee.
Okay. And you've been at this for 44 years, right?
43. I'm hoping to go another year, which would be 44 years, yes.
And it's okay to tell the folks that you're planning a retirement in about a year.
I told the board I'd be done in September of 2020, and along with that, they've made Mike the assistant director with the idea that he'd take my place in a year.
Okay, we'll talk more about that right after the break. You stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors. Oh, I think we're back. We're back with Maine Outdoors, and again, if you just joined us, our guests tonight are Al Copperthwaite, who's executive director of the North Maine Woods, and his sidekick, Mike McClellan, who's in line to succeed Al. Al just announced, I guess your wife probably knows you're retiring, right, Al?
A lot of people do, yes. Yeah.
So Al's going to hang it up after a year. Next fall, he'll be retiring after 43 wonderful years with North Maine Woods. And then Mike is going to step into the shoes. Big shoes to fill, Mike.
Very big shoes.
Yeah, you betcha.
If I can interject,
we'll have no interjection.
Oh, please. All right. Scott from the Maine Bow Hunters called, and he said that the season for the crossbow is actually starting in 2020.
Oh.
What?
It's 2020. It's not this year.
Wow. I can't believe I made that mistake. That's the second mistake I made this
in 20
week.
Years.
Yeah, in 20 years. Well, I guess, I one of my writers, wait till I talk to him.
He just left. He left early.
He got it screwed up, too.
Yeah.
I think he's probably right. That's the way those laws usually go.
I
apologize to you folks who've already bought a crossbow. Send the bill to Diane. Okay. He's probably right, and I apologize for that mistake. But I think he's probably right. Okay. Where were we here? Oh, we were talking
about
filling shoes.
Yeah, filling shoes.
Talking about Al's shoes.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask both of you, for the benefit of our listeners, just tell our listeners a little bit, how did you wind up at North Maine Woods, and what's your background?
Well, I'll start first. I grew up in Aroostook County, like to hunt and fish, and went to University of Maine at Orono in the forestry program, got a degree in parks management in the forestry program, and had a summer internship my first year out of college to do a land use inventory of the North Woods. The Land Use Regulation Commission, as it was called, was started in the early 1970s, the same time North Maine Woods was created. And the state was looking to get a baseline information of what there was for development in the Maine Woods. And I've always been confused because most of the large landowners in northern Maine didn't like to be regulated, but somehow they paid me to work with the state to drive Toyota Land Cruisers on every back road and record all the development that had taken place, visiting all the private camps and It was a very interesting experience for a young fellow to. I totally wore out a Toyota Land Cruiser when I got done the end of the summer. I visited most all the private camps from north of Baxter to Escort and broke down the description.
Did you personally have anything to do with the formation of North Main Woods?
I did not. It was formed in 1971. I graduated from college in 1976 and did this land inventory for a season. Tom Dickens was the director. He was the first director that was hired in 1976, and we kind of hit it off. And the second year of my employment, I was his assistant. And he was retired. He retired as the director of the Maine State Parks when Governor Longley was elected. They changed department heads, and Tom was a known entity to the landowners because he represented the state on the North Main Woods Committee when he worked for the state. So when he retired from the state, the landowners hired him to start organizing the North Main Woods. He was the first full-time employee.
Are you a Shire Towner?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. Changed a lot since the days when we used to pick, but you must have picked potatoes like I did.
I picked a lot of them.
Yeah. Weren't those the days?
Yes, it was.
I loved it. Did you ever pick potatoes?
I actually picked potatoes, yes.
It was my favorite thing to do. I loved getting out of school, getting out in those frosty mornings, picking those spuds up, putting them in those baskets, and getting paid for it.
I picked potatoes, Paul.
You did?
I absolutely did, yeah. I was going hustling. I went up there and picked one, Paul.
Did you really?
And then the farmer came over to me and he says, "You really want to do this?" And I said, "No." So he said, "Would you rather drive a truck?" And I said, "Yeah."
Oh, I always envied. I envied the guy driving the truck.
They had that automatic thing. You drop the wire over the barrel.
Yeah.
And it would come right up and set right on the truck. That was great, you know. Somebody else did that. I just drove the truck. Yeah.
Norm, you must have picked potatoes.
I picked potatoes, but I never worked on the truck.
Oh, Jim, you must have picked a few potatoes.
I picked, but I started driving truck at 12.
At 12?
At 12 years old.
I'll be doggone.
They pulled me right out of the field and
did
said,
they really?
"We want you driving truck."
Well, they knew you were a good wheelman.
They did.
Yeah. Those were the days. Yep. Now, Diane, did you ever work when you were young?
I did work, but I didn't pick potatoes, no.
Well, what did you do?
Well, in Milo, I think we pick beans.
Oh, you picked beans. Okay.
Now, Paul, I actually dug potatoes with a team of horses and a one-row digger with a make-and-break engine.
Really going back.
Did you really?
In limestone, yes, because the tractor broke an axle.
Oh,
and that was
the
first year that they had ever used a tractor on that farm.
Right.
And I wound up running the team.
Those were the days.
I used to envy those old ladies. You know, those old ladies would go from daylight till dark, you know, bent over.
Oh,
isn't
that
true, Mike?
Yeah. Absolutely.
100 barrels a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We used to actually get 50 cents a barrel.
Oh, I know.
You believe that?
I think we got a quarter.
I was getting a quarter.
25 cents a barrel.
Now, Mike, what's your background? How did you end up at North Main Woods?
Well, speaking of potatoes, I grew up in Aroostook County. I'm actually a Viking. I graduated from Caribou High School. After high school, I joined the U.S. Army and got the GI Bill and College Fund. Decided to come back to the county. And actually, I attended the University of Maine up in Presque Isle. I think it was my junior year. I actually got hired on by North Main Woods to work on the campsite program. And it was shortly after I graduated college with a degree in environmental science. The lady I was working under, Melanie Cody at the time, she actually had gone back to school and got her degree in teaching. And actually, her position became available. So I was asked if I'd be interested. And I guess I thought at the time.
Al hired you?
Well, yeah, Al had certainly a say in that.
Yeah.
And I think at the time I thought, well, what a great opportunity, good resume builder. And 17 years later, I'm still there.
Good for you.
But a lot of that speaks volumes to just, you know, the company itself, the organization. I had no desire to leave. We have a very good team there.
How many people do you have in the employee of North Main Woods, roughly?
Well, we have four managers out of the Ashland office.
Yeah.
Hello, Sammy and Kelly, if you're listening. And we have approximately, is it 48
part-timers?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Poland.
Wow. Big crew.
So, a lot of people certainly appreciate this organization.
Do they have uniforms or anything?
Well, Yeah, we did at one time. We had kind of a dressier type uniform, but yeah, we have a great line of retail items. So, so mostly, you know, most.
Now, is it true? I've heard that Al's a hard guy to work for. Yeah. Is that true?
I guess it all depends on who you talk to.
Good answer.
By all means, Al has been a great mentor, and he's. Certainly a good friend, and he's done a lot for the North Maine Woods organization, but I think he's done a lot certainly for just the state of Maine and the outdoor community as well.
Yeah, he sure has. So, yeah, and we appreciate all the good work you've done and the great organization that you've been a steward of. That's been a long siege, 44 years. I was saying before the show, I was never good for more than 10 years at any one job, but I've been at the Sporting Journal now for more than 20, so that's pretty good, huh?
Mm. Right. And here.
Yeah, and here in the radio. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're going to do right now. I want to talk to Al and Mike a little bit about the outlook for the game in the North Maine Woods, 3.5 million acres. Must be a few deer and bear and moose and grouse up there, I would think. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, though, and we're going to have a trivia question, as I promised, a $50 gift certificate will be yours if you can answer Mike's question. Right now, though, Bob wants to tell you about one of our sponsors.
Yes, General Appliance and Brewers, one of our big and only sponsor that does this show. Actually, not the only one.
Well, Old Town Trading.
They're big too. But I mean, well, they've been with us the longest, haven't they? Haven't they? 22 years.
They have been with us since the beginning, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I was talking to Al this week, and I told him, Al, a lot of people have asked me, and probably Paul too, how do these compost toilets work?
Ride the wave.
Baby. Thank you, Jim. I was waiting for you. Okay, anyway, a lot of people have asked, and a lot of people wonder, how do these compost toilets work?
I know how they work.
You know how they work, but do you really?
Chemicals only.
No, no chemicals.
There's a short guy in there with a shovel.
Well, a little really short fella, yeah.
And a clothespin.
Actually, they need peat moss and wood fibers, and that's included in the sale, so they don't have to buy anything extra for that.
Okay.
And they empty them probably once or twice a year, and that's typical. Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad, is it?
Once or twice a year?
Yes, that's all.
That's right.
That's what he said.
I'm having a hard time.
There's no power involved, there's no propane, there's no batteries, and there's no plug-in.
Right.
However, they must be vented. And that's a short job, vented right outdoors. Yeah. And right now they're giving a $200 rebate on them.
Now,
so that's pretty
good. What if Al was to buy 211 of those for the North Maine Woods? Could he get a better discount?
I'm sure they could work something out.
I would think so.
And I'd be happy to work something out.
You see Patty for the discount.
If you're listening, Al Elkin, you might want to talk to Al C. about his outhouse situation there.
Now, I want to add this, if I may. They also sell a line of on-demand hot water heaters. And these heaters require no power, absolutely no power, and they are propane-fired. And also, of course, the biggest thing that they do is they sell our books, Paul.
Yes, they do.
They're doing. They've done a great job on them, too.
They have. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And General Appliance, thank you, too.
General Appliance and Brewer. We patronize them and urge you to do likewise.
Absolutely.
Okay. Again, our guests, if you join us later, Al Copperthwaite and Mike McClellan from the North Maine Woods. And we've been talking about a lot of issues. If you'd like to ask these gentlemen a question, we encourage you to do so at our number, statewide toll-free number, which is
1-800-966-1039. And you have to dial the whole number, 1-800-966-1039, even if you're local.
Yes, you do. And again, we want you to participate. We urge you to call our number and ask these gents any question you might have in mind. Right now, Al's given me a little outline here, and I thought Al and Mike spent a lot of time not only administering but also getting out in the woods on occasion, right? You guys get out on the Hughes Brook Road or whatever and drive around. And what's your sense, Al and Mike, what's the bear season going to look like up there, do you think? You got a lot of bear baits out up there, right?
Yeah,
how many bear baits altogether?
Mike handles that. He's going to give you the rundown.
How many bear baits?
Well, Paul, believe it or not, we manage about 2,600.
2,600. Oh, wow.
Sense, yeah. On approximately 3.7 million acres, because we also manage for several companies outside of the North Maine Woods region.
Okay.
But predictions of how the seasons are going to go is all in who you talk to.
Mike, what do you mean by manage?
We manage the placement. We require bait sites to be GPS located, and then we for a fee we keep track of where those locations are.
I see.
And the fees help to pay for the to keep the you know the program managed.
I see.
But you know to say you know how well the bear season is going to be, a lot of it depends on what region of the state you're from. I think.
Yeah.
I know this year there was you know there was a lot of people saying there was natural foods out there that are quite plentiful. The baiting season I think got off to a little bit of a slow start, but I think it's starting to pick up. And one thing with my job, I get the opportunity to talk to a lot of game wardens, you know, when they call up.
Yep.
And I get to pick their brain a little bit about what they're seeing out there.
So are you getting any type of trend of the bears hitting the baits pretty good? Or
It's starting to warm up a little.
Yep.
It's kind of an every other year rotation. Last year was less plentiful for natural food sources. So this year it's been the opposite.
Yep.
So when there's natural foods out there, they have a tendency to not go after the bait so much. But
what's the logging road that goes up on the west side of is it Umzaskus? Did I say that right? What's that road called? It's got a funny name.
Blanchette Road. Blanchette Road goes from the Four Corners by Musquequa. Umzaskus. Hold on.
Oh no, Umzaskus, right?
Yeah, Umzaskus. It would be the 17 mile road or
Guy Allen Road, maybe.
Guy Allen Road.
I think it's a 17-mile road. Anyway,
17-mile road goes from the Reality Road up towards St. Paulfield.
Yeah, one of my kinfolk was up there probably 3 weeks ago fishing, 4 weeks ago. Maybe it was almost a month. And in one day, he saw five bears in one day. And they were only one was a double. The rest of them were single sightings. That's pretty unusual. Yeah.
So I'm going to get back to Bob's question. What do you do? Well, we don't just collect a fee for the placement of bait sites. Mike works with all the foresters from all these different 30 companies, and they tell him where they're going to be harvesting and building roads, and Mike records that all on maps, and he turns around and hands that to the guides. So they when they place their bait site, they're not going to be impacted by harvesting crews.
That's a good point.
And
a lot of coordination.
There's a lot of coordination in it. So it's a very complicated program. We work with probably 50 or more different foresters from different companies. We work with the Warden Service. We have a meeting every summer and we invite everybody that participates. And we sit down with the bear biologist Randy Cross and Jen Vachon and the Warden Service, and we all talk about bears. North Maine Woods has nothing to do with harvesting bears. We only deal with the aspect of land management, where you place your bait.
Yeah.
The state manages the bear population. We got to make that clear about that.
Yeah. All right. That's a good point.
Out of this 3.5 million acres, 10% of the land base is set aside where guides can't hunt. It's primarily for private individuals that want to set a bait out for their own purpose.
Yeah.
So it's like 400,000 acres that we don't allow the commercial operators to utilize, so Joe Blow can get a bait site. And
yeah. So if Norm Plord wanted to lease a bait site from you guys, could he do it? He could do it?
Well, it depends, Norm.
Yeah.
the popularity of bear hunting has really just grown over the years.
Yeah.
And because the land base is pretty well, I guess you could say, saturated, for lack of a better term, of you know of sites that are out there, we have had to kind of resort to a waiting list.
Oh, do you?
So
yeah.
People that do call up that have an interest in bear hunting would have to be put on that list first.
Yeah. Diane and I had a bait site a couple of times, and we got our leases through Bureau of Public Lands, but I think that's south of where your land is. Yeah,
BPL. I think they have like every three year rotation where after three years the sites go into a pool and they're redistributed.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
A little different than how we manage it.
Yeah. You know,
basically, if someone is within good standings with North Main Woods, with IF&W, they have the option to renew each year.
I see.
And in all honesty, because of the demand and the popularity of bear hunting, if guys are doing what they're supposed to, they keep renewing each year.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
Yeah. Norm, are you getting any hits on your bait sites?
I haven't. Well, I usually help some friends.
Oh.
And they have 120 bait sites. Oh. So.
No, I wasn't being a wise guy. I knew you were helping out baiting. I was just curious.
No, I haven't been in contact with them in regards to that.
Yeah.
If you want to do the trivia, we're about 7 minutes out.
Okay, so you're scolding me, right?
No. Just reminding you promised the audience that you're going to get a second.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Norm. I appreciate if it wasn't for you, this thing would be all mixed up. I appreciate it. He's right. Let's do the old trivia question, Mike. And Mike is going to give you a $50 gift certificate, which is good for anything at North Main Woods, if you can answer his question.
Sure. And I've actually heard that when this tree turns a nice golden yellow, the grouse hunting is ideal.
All right.
So the question is, what are the two other names for the tamarack tree?
All right. One more time, Mike.
What are the two other names for the tamarack tree?
And we'll be right back with more of Maine Outdoors after the answer.
Well, that was good, but I was looking for the number.
1-800-966-1039, and you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local.
All right. We'll be right back. Ponder that. Hit the old button, Norm, so we get the music.
Yeah, they got two or three
calls. Oh, we don't have any music, because this is a...
Oh,
that's right. This is a this is new ground. We had never done this before. I had to. I'm so well-trained, I thought
You've got a caller.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. Mike McClellan is waiting to give you a $50 gift certificate.
Oh, super. I hope I get it right. A hackmatack and a larch.
Wow.
Wow, that's right.
That is correct.
Isn't that incredible?
That
we thought that would be a tough question.
We thought that would be a stumper, but wow.
Wow. What is your name?
My name is Ruth.
Okay, Ruth. Now,
good job, Ruth.
Level with me, Ruth.
Thank you.
How did you know that answer so quickly?
Well, I live on the edge of the Orono Bog, and we have a lot of them out in the bog, and I spend a lot of time out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh.
I have a tree book and just kind of...
Good for you.
...like to know
yeah.
things.
There are a lot of hackmatack in that particular bog. We drive by that all the time, yeah.
Yes, and they're beautiful. And in the spring, their needles are very, very soft.
Yeah, they're beautiful trees,
which is something surprises me. Pine needles and firs are not soft like the larches are.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. Congratulations to you again. And
if
you'll stay on the line, Norm Plord will get your mailing address, and North Main Woods will mail you that gift certificate.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
All right. Before we run out of time, gents, let's talk a little bit about the other outlooks for wild animals in the North Main Woods. We covered the bear season pretty much. Grouse, you mentioned that, Al, is looking pretty good, is it?
It is. The grouse population has been increasing. Good people from all over the East Coast coming to Maine, northern Maine, to grouse hunt. There's almost as many... Grouse attract as many hunters as all the other, like moose, deer, and bear combined.
You're kidding. Is that right?
Becoming very popular.
Yeah?
It's our busiest month of the year.
Is it really?
Yes.
Of the whole year?
Yes.
Wow. Yep. And Brad Allen, the game bird guy for Fish and Wildlife, wrote a column that's going to be in the journal next month, saying that the outlook for grouse is pretty darn good, particularly up north where you guys are.
Seen a lot of flocks. We were up, took a tour of the Allagash with some rangers last week. We saw two flocks on the tramway pathway.
Wow. So that sort of flies in the face of the orthodoxy about grouse, because we had a cold, wet spring, but apparently it didn't affect the broods, huh?
Right. They're doing very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. They're tough birds, I guess. What about the Diane's favorite subject, the Cheval du Bois? Isn't that French for moose? Don't you guys speak French?
No.
You guys from the county, you don't speak French?
No.
Oh, that's right. You're an Irishman. I'm sorry. The moose of the woods. What's the deal there, the horse of the woods?
Well, they're showing up pretty good, too. They look healthy. They had a tough winter, of course. The department's doing a pretty good job keeping track of the numbers, and this year they've issued 300 more permits for the zones that are in the North Main Woods. Zones 1, 2, 4, and 5 are.
That's right.
A few more permits allocated, but they're looking healthy.
Yeah. Are you seeing any moose around the Winterville area?
Yeah, we got one up there tied up for Diane.
Diane, okay,
yeah.
Good. That's what we wanted to hear. Been waiting all night to hear that. That's great. Appreciate that, Al. Thank you.
Yep. Third road to the left.
All right. Okay. What about? I had another question I wanted to ask you. What was it? So the moose are looking good, the grouse are looking good, bear season's good, and you're expecting a very busy, busy season. Do you, when things get that busy up there, do you pull your hair out? Well, you must have a lot of, is there any conflicts between people driving on the road and the logging trucks?
Well, that's
work out pretty good?
That's a really good point. You know, we love to have people come up and visit us, but they got to understand that the roads are all private and they're all built to move the wood products and the log trucks out of the right of way. So the grouse hunters are famous for seeing grouse in the road, jumping out of their vehicle, leaving the doors open and running in the woods, and we can't have that.
Not good. Did you hear that, grouse hunters?
Yep.
Don't stop your truck on the Hughes Brook Road. Jump out with your doors open because there may be a logging truck coming around the corner. Right, Norm?
The moose hunters are the same way.
Yes, that could very well be.
Mm. They pull off the road and get out of the way. They're not paid by the hour. They're paid by the load, and they're working.
They still use the CBs?
Most have CBs, but in the Maine woods in the last 15, 20 years, they're now using a MERS radio system. It's more reliable than the CB system.
Oh, CBs, yeah. And so when you go around a corner, make sure you're on the right side.
That's correct.
Right.
Yep.
Very, very important. Yep. Well, look, it's been a pleasure to have you guys here again, and we appreciate you coming down. And I hope to see you before you retire. If I don't, best of luck to you, Al, and thanks a lot for all the good work you've done for North Maine Woods over the last 43 years. Hard to believe it goes. Doesn't time go by fast as you get older?
It does. It's amazing.
Like a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Come to the end.
All right. And what do you plan to do in your retirement? Do you have any hobbies? Are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Well, I'll probably have to buy my own gas to go right around the North Maine Woods.
Going fishing?
Good answer.
Well, I don't know. It changed a lot. When I was in high school, I hunted and fished all the time, and then now that I'm working in the woods, when I get my day off, I usually stay home.
Read a book, right?
Yeah.
Well, best of luck, and good luck to you, Mike.
Thank you, Paul.
And we wish you well.
Thank you.
And taking over for Al. And next week, our guest is going to be Commissioner Judy Camuso, Fish and Wildlife Commissioner.
That'll be interesting.
She's going to be with us, and we can ask her any question we choose right here on
Maine Outdoors.